Committee on Environmental Quality is hereby called to order. We have one item before the committee. This is AB 1299. It is by Assemblymember Salas, and we'll ask him to approach the dais. Do you want to co-present? Our principal co-author, Melissa Hurtado, is here as well, our colleague, and you're welcome to join us as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. We present Assembly Bill 1299. Thank you for allowing me to present 1299 to the committee today. This bill would fix some of the unintended consequences of previous legislation, namely AB 1647, which was passed in 2017. This legislation placed unequal burden on small family-owned refineries by requiring them to comply with the same rules as multinational refineries that AB 1647 originally set out to target. With that, I'll go ahead and allow for additional testimony.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members, for the opportunity to address this important issue. My name is Jennifer Haley. I'm the president of Kern Oil and Refining Company. We are a small, family-owned facility operating in Bakersfield, California. We're 26,000 barrels per day capacity. And to put that in perspective, some of the larger refiners in the state are 250,000 barrels capacity, so 10 times our size. We are here because we got caught up in legislation that was never intended to apply to us. We were assured by the bill's author that Kern was not the intended target of the legislation. And actually, in the interim, the South Coast Air Quality Pollution Control District has actually exempted refineries that are below 40,000 barrels per day. So this is really a matter of equity, where if we were in Los Angeles County, we would be exempted, but we are not exempted under the current. We have worked closely with our local air pollution district, and they have been very helpful and supportive and reasonable, but they need clarification that we should be exempted under this legislation. And so what we're talking about is we're a refinery located in the southern San Joaquin Valley. We are already subject to some of the strictest monitoring requirements in the state. We have daily, weekly, and monthly monitoring activities. The pollutants that are monitored include carbon dioxide, volatile organic compounds, SOX. We actually have continuous monitoring devices on our fuel gas system and also on our flare, and that goes directly live to the Air Pollution Control District. I am not here to say that I am against monitoring. Far from it. Kern has been an example of a refinery that has embraced the state's climate change goals and also the emissions reductions. But this type of monitoring would not make sense for a facility of our size. For us to spend between $1.5 and $3 million to put this monitoring in place that was never supposed to apply to us to begin with, what that is doing is diverting our scarce resources away from projects that are actually going to help our community, actually help our facility, expand our renewable fuels, reduce our emissions. Some of the projects that we're considering right now includes emissions reductions and putting in new burner technology that would reduce our heater emissions by up to 60%. We're actually looking at 2-megawatt solar facility. I'm just trying to give some examples. We are trying to be a good corporate citizen. We're trying to be a good member of the community, and spending money on this air monitoring that's not intended for us, particularly emissions profile of our size, just doesn't make sense.
Okay, thank you. Other folks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Cesar Diaz on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council here to humbly ask for your support of this legislation. We have been supportive of all of the state's climate change policies. They have also provided not only the opportunities to work in such refineries, but also to create opportunities building renewable solar plants and also wind plants in and around the Central Valley area near where this actual refinery is located. We have members from IBEW Local 428. We have plumbers and pipe fitters from Local 460 and carpenters that routinely work in and around these facilities performing the types of projects that were mentioned to actually modernize the facility. By not achieving these projects, what happens is that a lot of the emissions will continue to make the area's pollution worse and perhaps take away the opportunities for some of our members to actually work locally, having them to travel to different areas because construction is cyclical and it's also regional, and that will also add more pollution to the area. The area does not have that much economic diversity. There's not that many jobs in there. In fact, it's double the actual unemployment rate in this area in Kern County compared to the rest of the state. They're at 3.8, while the state's at, 3.8 is the state of California's unemployment. 8% is the rate in Kern County alone. And so these are important jobs. The jobs that are in and around these areas don't pay as well as some of our members are actually making in these areas. So what we're asking for is some time and some flexibility for these small refineries to actually perform a different type of monitoring that's not with like what the large facilities are having to do. And we fully support large facilities because we have been supportive of the bills back in 2017 to add those higher standards and regulations to those facilities. But for these small ones, I think they deserve a second look. And for the reasons already stated, we humbly ask for your support.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
So good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. First and foremost, I want to just make it clear that air quality is extremely important to us in the Central Valley, and as is clean water. And jobs is also important to us, given that we have a high or double-digit unemployment rate in the Valley. We're trying to make it better to provide opportunities for people. This bill does not reduce the current levels of monitoring imposed by the state and the local air board. It simply states that due to a facility size and a level of production, it should not be considered in the same way as a facility that produced significantly more product emissions. This bill will alleviate a one-size-fits-all approach that was applied to the state in 2017. Through AB 1647, and for the reasons that were stated today, I'd respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks who want to speak in support? Others who, folks want to raise opposition or concerns about the bill? Would you come on up?
Good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Katie Valenzuela. I'm the Policy and Political Director for the California Environmental Justice Alliance. We are a statewide coalition of grassroots groups seeking to achieve environmental justice, and we are here today with more than 20 grassroots organizations and advocacy groups in opposition to this bill. When operating within regulated limits, refineries already pose significant health risks to the communities as far as a mile away. The refinery in question in Kern County is literally across the street from a community of over 900 people who are predominantly Latino and one-third children. The monitors are there to ensure that rules are followed and that communities are protected. And to say that those families don't deserve the same protection as urban communities is offensive and bad policy. Speaking of bad policy, we believe that the South Coast exemption of small producers was not an appropriate interpretation of the Marsucci bill. To make an additional policy statement based on that bad policy decision is just one bad policy informing another. On a quick personal note, I was born and raised in Kern County. My family still lives there. I take inhalers every day as a result of growing up in some of the worst air quality in the country. This bill flies in the face of significant health evidence of the impact of oil on the communities in this country, in this county, and decades of advocacy that neighbors like mine have been doing against oil in this region. We think that the money that is invested to protect communities pales in comparison to the money that they spend dealing with the impacts of these facilities, and we believe that we are entitled to good jobs and clean air. We want to work with you on that solution, not on this one, and we strongly urge you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Will Barrett with the American Lung Association. We are strongly opposed to this effort to weaken air quality monitoring in Kern County at the refinery. Kern County is ranked number one most polluted county in the United States by the American Lung Association's 2019 State of the Air Report on particle pollution and number five for ozone pollution. That's across the United States, number one, number five for most polluted air. We know that people living near major sources of pollution face greater risk due to the local proximity, greater risk of asthma attacks, greater cancer risks, greater impact to heart health, and premature death. Air quality monitoring allows us in our air districts and local communities to understand the level of risk that they face from local pollution sources. They help us to understand those local risks, create community protective plans, and implement reductions in toxic air contaminants that threaten public health. This bill means less information for people living near an oil refinery in Kern County, again, the most polluted county in the United States. We oppose this bill. We believe it is a bad policy. We believe that a gut and amend process for something of this importance is a bad process, and the precedent is also bad. We believe this is bad for public health and urge you to oppose.
Thank you. Other folks who want to speak in opposition?
Hello. Erica Martinez with Earth Justice. We are a nonprofit law firm. We do a lot of work at South Coast, and we were really surprised to see that South Coast is being used as an example with their regulations, which we believe are unlawful and inconsistent with the legislation that you passed and approved. We also believe in jobs, the environment, and public health, and this bill does not strike the right balance today, and we look forward to having other types of conversations so that we can address all those three things together. Thank you.
Hi, Julia Jordan with Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability. We work directly with some of the communities that would be negatively impacted by this bill and strongly oppose it for the reasons stated by my colleagues in the opposition. Thank you.
Bill McGovern with Coalition for Clean Air. We're opposed. We ask you not to put a loophole in the refinery monitoring law and not to sacrifice the health of the residents near the refinery. Thank you.
Jamie Go on behalf of the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition in opposition.
Juan Altamirano with Audubon, California in strong opposition.
Chair members, Nikita Karate with the Natural Resources Defense Council, strongly opposed.
Lauren Cullum with Sierra Club, California, we strongly oppose this bill.
Erin Rodriguez with the Union of Concerned Scientists in strong opposition.
Melissa Romero with the California League of Conservation Voters in strong opposition, and I was also asked to pass along the opposition of the Environmental Defense Fund. Thank you.
Environment California, Dan Jacobson, oppose.
Deanna Vasquez here, registering opposition for both Center of Race, Poverty, and Environment, who also works in Kern County, and also registering opposition for the Communities for Better Environment that also represents LA communities and the Bay Area.
Brendan Tuig on behalf of the California Air Pollution Control Officers Association. We're very concerned about the potential negative health impacts, the bad precedent the bill sets. I've also heard South Coast Rule mentioned by various people. I did want to point out the distinction between this proposal and that is that that was something that was adopted at the local level and went through a local process rather than an exemption up here at the state level. So I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Okay, the items before the committee for questions. Senator Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a tough one because certainly, you know, as you know, the chair of the Bay Area District at times, sitting on CARB for a while and knowing that the Valley and Kern County is the most polluted area of the state and the health risk is substantial. There was a comment raised about the, I guess, the monitoring that is now going on. The regular monitoring by the Air District. What is that, and how often, and what are they actually are doing in that monitor? Do they come out on a regular basis?
So the current monitoring, and I'm frankly not going to be able to summarize all that we do, but like I said, we have daily, weekly, and monthly monitoring activities. We currently monitor for carbon dioxide, volatile organic compounds, SOX. Like I said, that we have the continuous monitoring on our fuel gas system and our flare. I can also pull in, we have our government affairs manager, who also was our environmental manager, who would be able to add some additional detail if the committee should
if
desire.
If you don't mind, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely, yeah,
I'd like
sure.
to.
Hi, thank you, Melinda Hicks. To further what Jennifer was saying about our monitoring requirements, she gave you the various frequencies, and that covers a multitude of our equipment, over two dozen pieces of equipment that we have that is covered by that. And I think to further answer your question about what the Air District does, they are out on a routine basis. They have strict requirements that they're held to by EPA, so they are in our facility very regularly, and they themselves monitor all the same pieces of equipment that we do through the course of their annual inspection. And when I say annual, it's not once a year that they come out. We see them at a minimum once a month, sometimes quite more often than that. We may have them in the facility 2 or 3 days a week at certain times.
There was a mention, I think, in the analysis discussing a request, or have you applied to the Air District for this exemption?
We have been working with the Air District on this, and I think we're very happy to say that the district understands, and they've been working with us to the degree that they can. It is our understanding that they don't feel that the legislation already in place imposing these requirements quite gives them the latitude to do anything further than what they are today, and that this would give them that additional confirmation that they need.
Yeah, because I heard from the opposition that they felt that South Coast actually went above and beyond the authority that they had by offering that exemption there as well. So, it's troubling to see and to hear. I'm just looking at the numbers. It's 28,000 barrels a day, 27,000 barrels a day, which is quite low compared to so many other refineries. So this
Indeed.
Is a challenge, and I am concerned about the district. So I will probably today be supporting this bill to keep it moving and have some further conversations about it. So thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
I know that Senator Grove is here, and I think as a courtesy, we wanted to give her an opportunity to make some comments. Maybe one of you can vacate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, it's not very often in most cases in the state that we get to cross the aisle and work together on our districts. And so it's an honor for me to sit here with Senator Hurtado and Assemblymember Salas to work hard to make sure that the jobs that are created in the district are protected. This refinery is a very, very small refinery compared to the legislation that was enacted that was to affect refineries. And we all understand the issues that we have with air quality, but to allow this refinery to continue and focus on issues that are better for our community than the simple, not simple, but the fence line monitoring would be beneficial for Kern County, and I'm proud to stand with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle to work with them to get this accomplished, and I would really appreciate your eye vote.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Senator Dolley.
Okay, so I have a couple questions. First off, number one, in Kern and Fresno, there was a study done some time back that if you took every person and every polluter out of there, you'd still have pollution there because of how the valley lays. And so it's been a frustration of mine. I actually worked with Assemblymember Salas on trying to keep a biomass plant operating in his district when I was in the state assembly. And we had this group come and talk about the particulate matters in Kern and Fresno area, and you know we were trying to keep the forest from burning down, which causes a lot of this particulate matter. So my question actually is to because of the way the valley lays and the way the this is a pet peeve of mine. I don't want to pick a fight with my friends from the coast, but I have to state the facts. And the facts are that they get a free ride over there because the wind blows all their pollution into the valley, and these people have to breathe it. And then they get penalized because they have their manufacturing there, is the air quality is bad. And it's quite frankly due to the way the valley lays and the way the winds blow. So for me, it's a question of, if the neighbors there, if you remove this plant completely, the problems would still be the same. And so we have to strike a balance here. So we allow the PM monitors at the coast because it's not stagnant air, and they get to pollute and it lands in their backyard. So for me, that's one of the things that I try to weigh out on these decisions of, are we penalizing the people who manufacture or produce commodities that we need in the valley because of where they're at, and other people get a free ride. So that's one of the decisions I think that needs to be weighed out in this piece of legislation. The other thing I want to share with you is that, you know, in making those determinations over, I mean, what's the difference? A few thousand, how many barrels, the difference is it that you meet under this requirement? Was it 10,000? I can't remember the math here anyway.
So our facility is 26,000 barrels per day. The larger refiners that this was intended for are 10 times our size, right. So 250,000 a day-ish.
So those will be the reasons for me to be considering this bill, because I think that, quite frankly, the Valley has some really big challenges, and I think a majority of your problem is not from the people that are local there. The majority of the problem is from pollution coming in from somewhere else.
Is that really the case?
Is that true?
Yeah, it is
true. I can lend some insight.
Okay, Senator Stern.
I don't want to pick a fight
with you guys. No, I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm just trying to get
there's just to clarify how the Clean Air Act works in California, interbasin transport of pollutants are taken into account for the Central Valley, the San Joaquin Air Pollution Control District's plan. So it sort of backed out those Bay Area numbers. And the primary source of pollution, according to the numbers, is mobile source there. So in the valley. But that aside, I wanted to try to, I know this is a critical issue for you all, and you're saying you want to do the right thing, and we're talking about, what'd you say, $1 million? $1.5 million to install the system?
You know, it depends. We don't know exactly what the system's going to look like right now, which obviously gives us some heartburn, but we're looking at $1.5 million, maybe even up to $3 million.
So I know we've talked in the past about some of your efforts on low-carbon fuel production. And I know there's a premium in the marketplace right now for production of those low-carbon fuels. So I sort of want to get a sense from you, A, about that revenue source and the ability to offset any of these costs to protect those 900 people and give them some assurance. But secondarily, isn't there also a grant program that we're administering as part of, it's going to escape me, the bill number? It was what came with the fence line monitoring legislation we did, where we've been giving out grants, 617.
So
have you guys applied, or has the district applied for any of those grants for fence line monitoring?
So first, your first question.
Yeah.
So Kern actually was the second refinery in the country back in 2009 to get an EPA fuel registration for our renewable diesel. That's something we're incredibly proud of. We also blend biodiesel. Since 2012, we've been blending biodiesel in our diesel, and we also have a B20, a 20% biodiesel product that we introduced in 2017, which is now actually 10% of our diesel sales. When it comes to, you know, the profitability associated with those renewable fuels, suffice to say the renewable diesel was incredibly difficult. The feedstock that we're using is very difficult on the metallurgy. We go through catalyst much quicker. It's an incredibly capital intensive, and it was a type of business that we might frankly still be losing money on, but certainly in the early years while we tried to work through the process, we were our own pilot program for that. But that was something where Kern felt strongly that the future is renewables. And so we felt it was important to make those investments, not to be out in the market buying compliance instruments, instead really to embrace where the state is going and to do the renewable fuels. So that was important to us. And frankly, as far as the profitability, it depends on the compliance instrument markets, and those move around a lot. And we also have overlapping obligations on the federal side and the state side. So state, we have low carbon fuel standard and cap and trade. On the federal side, we have the renewable fuel standard. Unfortunately, those programs do not line up. So fuels that would actually help us under the renewable fuel standard don't necessarily help us under the California standard. Right. So we have to kind of thread the needle.
So what percentage of fuel production is low carbon fuel right now versus straight petroleum?
I think it depends on how you define it, but our
LCFS fuel, LCFS compliant fuel.
So all of our fuel is LCFS compliant, but
that you're getting credits for from the LCFS program.
So right now we actually have a restriction when it comes to labeling. And so for our finished diesel that goes out the gate, up to 5% contains renewable diesel that we produce on site. Like I said, we're the only ones in California that are producing that. And up to 5% of that diesel also includes biodiesel. Sometimes we analogize it a little bit to hiding vegetables in food where your children don't know the vegetables are in there. It's very similar with the fuels, right? The fuels are in there, but it goes out the gate as diesel, and it's also sold as diesel. To go above the 5%, you would have to actually have a separate label for the pumps, which makes it difficult from a market acceptance. The way we have gotten around that or are doing that is the B20 product, where we actually now sell a separate product that has the 20% biodiesel. So those are the areas where we have the renewable fuels. We also bring in ethanol and blend up to 10% ethanol.
So like what percentage are you doing of B20?
10% of our gasoline sales. So we sell between 9,000 and 10,000 barrels a day, and so 10% of that.
So, I mean, if you took more of that forest biomass that we're talking about or other sorts of feedstocks and for ag biomass out of the valley, right, locally, and then started to convert that into renewable diesel and generated more revenue, say you doubled the amount, wouldn't you far offset whatever the $1 million is or $1.5 million that you need for this fence line monitoring?
So I'm not sure I entirely understand the question. I think when it comes to our renewable fuels, that is something that's capital intensive and that's hard on our business. But we've invested in it because we think it's the right thing to do.
How much money would you make if you doubled your production?
I think the issue that we have right now is we're looking to invest in additional renewable fuel opportunities, but we don't have the capital. And so for us to spend, you know, $1.5 million to $3 million on a fence line monitoring where we already have the monitoring requirements in place.
I get that. I get your main argument. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I get that. I'm just trying to figure out how much more you'd make if you doubled your biodiesel production.
To be honest, I think we would lose money for a number of years before we would actually catch up to the investment that we would have to make.
And then have you applied for those 617 grants?
We have not.
Why?
I did not even know they existed until we talked about them in this committee, but it's something I'll be looking into.
Seems like a good option.
And actually, one of the things that we have been doing is we've been aggressively meeting with the regulatory agencies and talking about our desire to expand our renewable fuels and looking for opportunities with the Air Resource Board and also with the California Energy Commission of where we can get help. You know, not to climb back up on my soapbox, so to speak, but 80% of small refiners in the country have gone out of business in the last 20 years. It is an incredibly difficult market. We are doing the best that we can to be a good corporate citizen and to embrace the state's climate and renewable fuel goals. But if we're regulated at the same capacity as a multinational, you know, billion-dollar-plus market cap corporation with facilities 10 times our size, we cannot survive. And so this really is about doing what makes sense for our facility and making sure our dollars are being spent improving the community.
Get it. I've met with your lobbyists. They're sophisticated players. You have some very capable advocates here for you in the Senate and the Assembly. So hundreds of other people have applied for 617 grants across the state. I don't see why that. And you talked to the administration already and nobody brought this up as a potential option.
So I think when it comes to the 617 grants, obviously 617 is an entirely different process. And what we're pursuing right now would not affect 617. And so the requirements that come down under 617 is something that we would look at separately. Right now, we don't know what those requirements are. They're still doing the community process. But I do. I really appreciate the comment about the grant money, and it's something we'll look into.
Okay.
And I will say, when it comes to sophistication, this is my first time testifying before a committee like this.
You're doing great.
So as much as I appreciate our helpers.
Their earnestness is real, and I totally get that. We're just trying to find a creative way around this and to avoid the precedent-setting nature and still sort of let you guys keep you know, stay in business, but do it a way that we're not going to create bad precedent in the state. And it sounds like, is it being litigated, this South Coast decision? Do we know? Is that actually in court right now?
As far as I know, it's not being litigated right now. And I think when it comes to precedent, we've talked a lot about South Coast because it's so germane. But we actually, there is precedent at the federal and the state level for small refiners being treated differently because of the nature of their business.
Correct.
Actually, before the Air Resources Board, we get the benefit of the low complexity, low energy use refiner credit. And so they recognize that the fuel we produce has a lower carbon intensity than the fuel produced by the larger refiners because of the nature of our facility. And so that's something right now, unfortunately, Kern is the only refinery in the state that gets the benefit of that credit because we're the last small refinery left that's producing transportation fuel.
And if I could just respond just a second, the ultra-low carbon fuel standards that are going to take place on the sulfur for 2020, Kern is ahead of the game on this, and to limit their ability to continue to develop this technology is something that I would really ask you guys to consider not doing.
And if I could just provide some clarity through the chair. You know, all the discussions that we've had in discussing with the administration and even the author, you know, they were an unintended consequence. When you look at the amount of barrels, there's precedent in state law about how we deal with small refineries compared to the large refineries. So that was something that we're looking at, and I think that's why you saw South Coast do the rule that they did, is because they were never the intended target of the original legislation.
So this may have already been fully exhausted, but given that South Coast did such a rule, this does not need a law. This does not need a statute. Why didn't Air District in your area act similarly as South Coast did?
You know, I don't think that they have, I'll say these are my words and no one else's, maybe the clout and the might of the South Coast. Obviously, South Coast tends to be a leader and on the cutting edge of kind of the regulations and really sets the standard in the state. I think our local district really wants to be reasonable. But the position, as I understand it, is they don't think that the current regulation is clear, that there is, you know, 100% that authority for them to take that position. And so the direction that we got...
And yet South Coast did, and South Coast is not being litigated.
I was going to say, if you want me to testify on all the times that regulatory agencies don't agree, we're going to have a very long hearing.
That's true.
And so we're just trying to do it the right way. We're trying to... we're trying to make our case and be treated the way we should have been treated, frankly, from the beginning, and unfortunately, we're not.
Senator Murkowski.
On staff report on page 2 talks about giving the authority to the districts and having them giving Kern Oil or whomever may be the provider that guidance. I mean, the Marasuchi bill spells out that it was to apply to everybody in the state of California. It wasn't a Torrance deal, and then it gave the appropriate districts the authority to give guidance to folks. It's my understanding that you've received no guidance from San Joaquin Valley, nada, nothing, on this issue. They're silent, so they presume that you must have monitoring on the fence line and everything else, right?
I think that their rule and what they're going to require, frankly, is still in development. And so I think the possibility of them having a rule in place and going through the public process before the end of the year is unlikely at this point, and that puts us obviously in a difficult position. Like I said, I am very appreciative of the work that they're doing. I think they're trying to strike the right balance, but this does seem something appropriate given that it came from the legislature, for the legislature to provide the clarification of what this bill really was intended to address, and to make sure that we're not putting that pressure on the local district.
But typically in this situation, if the local appropriate agency has not developed rules that they needed to do by January 1, 2020, we ask for another year. We ask for another year to give them the time to make those local decisions. The proposal before us is not for not to match South Coast, it's to go to 55%. So what's the compelling reason, or 55,000 barrels, gallons versus 40? So what would be, in my mind, it's hard to swallow this, if you ask for more time for San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District to come up with appropriate guidance for small refiners, and we'll deal with that as they go through that rulemaking. That's one thing, but this is asking for a no look at 55,000 versus 40, which is, we've heard from some of the advocates, they believe is unwarranted.
So I think an important distinction to make is this is actually a much more restrictive exemption than what is currently provided by South Coast, because it's a two-fold test. The 55 is based on existing state law that recognizes small refineries, and so that is why we use that criteria. That's why that criteria was used. The second piece of criteria has to do with population density and is extremely restrictive as to the population density around the facility, which is designed to narrow
the scope of the exemption even more, because the original purpose of the bill was really focused on refineries that are located in cities and densely populated urban centers. To be clear, I am very concerned and want to make sure that we are protecting all of the people around our refinery. And I'm not saying that to say that the rural nature of it means that we don't need to pay attention to it. I think that the two criteria limits the applicability, and it looks really at the small refineries that shouldn't have to be implementing these regulations. And like I said, a monitoring system is not going to provide a benefit to the valley. It's not going to provide a benefit in actually reducing the emissions. But if we're able to spend that $1.5, that $3 million to do actual emissions reductions projects, that's where we're going to be able to have that positive effect. And so that's really our contention, is that this was not intended for a facility of our size and our makeup. It's not going to provide a real benefit to the community, and we can do other things with those funds to really have a difference in the valley.
See, and Senator, I think that's why they wanted us to come back to the legislature and actually look for a legislative fix, because it was never an intended intended consequence to go after a small refinery like she's speaking about. So they said, well, if we could go back to the legislature and fix that, you know, that'd be the preferred route, rather than now dealing with, okay, South Coast did a rule, San Joaquin's still considering their rule, and maybe there'll be litigation, maybe they're not. But if there were never an intended consequence, which you can verify with the author of the bill and the administration as well, then they were thinking, well, maybe we can have a legislative fix and just be done with the issue.
Yeah, but that...
And through the chair, I'm sorry, through the chair, the requirements that were set forth are based on statute that's in law right now. So the reason why it didn't go just like equal to, like Jennifer was saying, is, you know, 55,000 barrels is what's put in...
Existing statute.
Right. Existing statute, right. So then you'd have kind of like a, this bill did this, the South Coast direction did this, and you'd have three different criteria. So we just used the criteria that was in the, when we drafted
right.
the language.
Except, what I see missing here, although your testimony is saying it, what I don't see is the dollar for dollar transfer. Is saying if we were to put fence line monitoring in at our facility, it would cost us $1 million. We're going to put $1 million into reduction of CO2 or whatever new equipment, so that the air district could say, okay, we can go by and we're doing our own monitoring. We're going to give you some guidance because we want to reward good behavior. We're going to reward good behavior and say, okay, if you're going to go in and clean up your small facilities, medium-sized facilities, big facilities, we'll give you a dollar-for-dollar, you know, transfer, because we know how much the monitoring is going to cost. They know how much the cleaning. That's not here before us. This is just to say we're small. We want to protect you. But, again, you're not under oath, and I'm not suggesting that your company's not going to do, but there's a whole other lot of little processors in this Kern County and elsewhere in the state that are going to be benefiting from this.
There's two.
No, and we are actually, there aren't other facilities. It's very limited, and that's why it's a district issue, where Kern is the one that isn't a beneficiary of a Kern exemption. And so this would help us and get us to have that equal treatment. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think if the author of the bill had intended for refineries like Kern, had it attended for small facilities, if that's what the support for the bill said, then we would be having a very different conversation, right? And I agree with you, then the fix really would be doing it through the local district or trying to get some more time or some clarity. But because the direction that we got was we were not the intended target, this doesn't make sense at a facility like us, that's why an exemption seems appropriate in this instance.
I feel uncomfortable, given the desire to improve air quality for all the citizens of Kern County at this time, given, I guess, the lack of effort by the air district. I guess if it's one thing for legislators and the the covered entities, but this is what their job is to provide the guidance. That's clearly said in the language. So.
Well, and I think from our perspective, you know, obviously our air pollution district has a lot on its plate. There are a lot of things that it's pursuing. There's a lot of things that it's doing. And frankly, we would rather have them spending their time on other things that are actually going to have a beneficial impact on our community. And so that's where, because we think the lack of clarity is at this level, that this is the appropriate level to clarify.
And through the chair, sir, there's only two. I thought there were, or there's only one. Kern is the only one. I thought there were two, but there's not. Kern is the only small refiner that meets this criteria and that is not in an urban, fully developed in Gulf City area. It's the only one that meets this criteria.
But there's some. There are those in cities. You're saying the only and not in a.
The language is crafted very.
The language crafted is very narrow. This bill affects Kern Oil Refinery.
It says the staff has not been able to definitively verify that claim in the analysis. I don't know.
It's just lack of time too, sir, is what I would submit to you.
Okay.
So I'm one of the things that is a problem for me in this legislature is that one size fits all never works for my little small business either. I get penalized every day, and my neighbors who are in business get penalized every day by, you know, the one size fits all. And I think there is something that the legislature needs to take a look at is that there are opportunities like this where we should be trying to help. There's nothing in this legislation that is going to change the air quality there. I want to say that I think that you're doing the right thing by trying to find a niche market, trying to be a leader in your refining and adding biofuels to it. So for those reasons, I'm going to move this bill, and hopefully we can have this discussion on the floor.
Thank you.
No further questions. You may close.
Just respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
It's been moved by. We need to establish a quorum first. Secretary, please call the roll for the purpose of quorum.
Senator Allen.
Aye.
Here.
Oh, here.
Bates.
Here.
Bates here. Dolly.
Here.
Dolly here. Hill.
Here.
Hill here. Skinner. Stern.
Here.
Oh, that? Stern.
Here.
Stern here. Wachowski.
Here.
Wachowski here.
Okay. The bill has been moved by Senator Dolly. Secretary, please call the roll.
Item number 1, AB 1299. The motion is due pass to the Appropriations Committee. Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Dolly.
Aye.
Dolly, aye. Hill.
Aye.
Hill, aye. Skinner.
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Stern.
No.
Stern, no. Wachowski. Wachowski, no.
Okay, that's 5-2. We'll go back to the floor. Thank you, everyone.